Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Tim Grunhard in studio. I'll remind you that you can stop by and see me today from 11 until 1 o'clock. Open house at Littlefield Eye Associates. That's where I go. That's where my wife goes. That's where my kids go. Dr. Grimes, that's our guy. You can go see the open house, the brand new place of brand new facility for Littlefield Eye Associates, 220 West 75th in Waldo, KCMO. Stop by. You can win some prizes, a golf package to Shadow Glen. Win a free pair of eyeglasses. They're giving away frames. They got the Oakleys like I got the Oakleys. Like Patrick Mahomes got Oakleys.
This place must be really, really good for you to come down south.
You are
a Northland man.
That's right.
And for you to come down south,
I was
ready for you to say, like, you know, up in the Northland.
Hey, I was looking for a place. Look, I go, you find the right doctor. You know, find the right eye doctor. It's Dr. Grimes. I go wherever I need to go.
I see what you're saying.
I go wherever I need to go. Okay?
I see that.
The dentist, we come out here over the park to Dr. Hake.
Oh.
At Blue Stem Dental. You find the right doctor, you will go many miles, and I'm fine with it. And he takes care of it. Because, you know what? Before I went to Dr. Grimes, I couldn't see what the hell was going on around here. Now
you see everything. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that you see everything?
Not great. But you can get a tour. They're going to have hors d'oeuvres and wine and prizes. Littlefield Eye Associates, 220 West 75th in Waldo, KCMO. I'll be there today from 11 until 1. Let's talk
football.
Offensive line. You like the football, don't you?
Yeah, speaking of seeing everything, I had really actually a pretty good view from the seats that I had. Which was in the, I guess it was, it'd be the, gosh, I always get confused. It'd be the north end zone. I believe it's the north end zone. Yeah, the north end zone. And I was able to kind of watch the offensive line. And, of course, that's all I watch. I mean, I watch the offensive line, and then I kind of find the ball and see what's going on. But, you know, I usually pick one guy or two guys to watch, or, you know, a combination of the right guard, right tackle, or the center and left guard, or whatever you may have. Watched a bunch of that, and listen, the offensive line is a work in progress. I think they have some really good athletes. I think they play really tough. They play very physical. But their timing's off. Their communication's just a little bit off, and really the feel is off. And that'll all come. It's one of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago that's going to take this offensive line about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks to just kind of really get a good feel for what's going on. Remember, there are five new guys playing in five new positions that have never really played together. And, you know, that's a challenge, especially when you go against a defensive line and a front seven as good as Cleveland. I think Cleveland's front seven may be as good as anybody they play. You know, the Chargers are very good. You know, Raiders flash against the Chiefs for some reason. But Cleveland has a very, very good front seven, and the Chiefs were tested, and it showed a little bit. So there's some things they can work on, and we could talk a little bit about if you want some of the combination stuff.
Whose front seven is better, the Ravens or the Browns?
Wow, it's weird because when you talk about the front seven for Baltimore, you have to kind of say with a caveat that you're going to have pressure. Cleveland brought a little bit of pressure, but they're not a huge pressure team. I expect Wink to bring a bunch of pressure. Now listen, that's a catch-22 for Baltimore because Baltimore likes to bring pressure. They are the number one team usually in the league in pressure situations. And when they do that against Patrick Mahomes, they're 0-3 because Patrick Mahomes feasts off of blitzes and pressure.
Got burned on Monday against the Raiders. It cost them the game.
They did. And so I think Wake is sitting there saying, listen, what do we do here? You know, we are a blitz, heavy blitz, pressure team. That's our MO. That's what we want to do. That's what we drafted these guys for. That's my personality. And as a coach, you kind of always want to go with your personality. And then especially when you're going against a young offensive line that has three rookies on one side on their first real away game with crowd noise, and it's going to be crazy there on a Sunday night, and that'll be a test for the Chiefs. And then when you bring pressure, it just adds a little bit more of the intrigue, adds a little bit more of the pressure, adds a little bit more of the communication issues that obviously happen on the road. So what do you do if you're Wink? Do you stay with your personality? Although this personality and this blitz personality, you're 0-3 against Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes does such a great job against the blitz, and Andy Reid does a great job of countering those blitzes. Or do you say, listen, we are going to test these young guys the first time on the road, first time in, you know, in hostile environment with loud stadium, and now we're going to bring pressure. And the communication is such the key when it comes to blitz and dogs for everybody out there is when you bring linebacker. Blitz is, you know, if you want to talk genre, blitz is when you bring in safeties and corners and, you know, kind of the whole scheme falls under blitz. But when you bring linebackers, they call it dogs. I mean, this is kind of what it is. So, you know, they're going to bring some pressure, blitzes and dogs against this offensive line. Will Patrick Mahomes be able to pick it apart? Most likely. I don't think that the personnel for Baltimore is as good as it was over the last couple of years. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting matchup. The game within the game will be Wink Martindale and that blitzing front seven against Patrick Mahomes and his new rejuvenated offensive line.
Let's hear a couple of clips from Eric Bieniemy. I can get you to react to first here. Played this a little bit earlier. Here's Bieniemy on his new offensive tackles saying that they were good enough to help the team win last week, but he expects them to improve as the season moves along.
You know what? Just because of the chemistry that they've developed, you know, those guys understand the importance of being on the same page. There's some little things that I know Coach Heck is tweaking and making sure that these guys will be sound. But when it's all said and done, what these guys will learn through their experiences, you know, and sometimes those experiences ain't always necessarily the best ones, but it's the negative ones that have an impact on you that help you to grow together.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. You learn from your mistakes. The best way to learn is to make mistakes and struggle in certain situations, but yet win the game. And that's what the Chiefs did up front. I mean, there were some different combinations between the guards and the tackles, and especially on the run game on the backside where the guard was leaving a little bit early and the tackle really couldn't get across. And that's just about feel. You know, when I was playing with Dave Zott and Will Shields next to me, and we played next to each other for, gosh, I mean, 80, 90, 100 games, you know, I knew exactly, I had the feel when Dave was going to leave or when I could leave and Will was going to take over. It was just a feel. It was like a quarterback in the pocket with timing. You know, how a quarterback has a clock in his head and he's going to get rid of the ball when that clock, you know, obviously expires. The same thing is with offensive line play. You know, if you wait for that guy to be taken over, then you're probably going to be too late to get to the second level, if that makes any sense. So you got to have a feel. All right, I knew that when I had this certain kind of feel with Dave taking over a guy or me taking over a guy on Will, that he can get off on the next level. And that's all about, once again, it's about understanding the speed of the game, understand the communication of the game, and understand the feel of the game. And I think the Chiefs struggled a little bit with that up front last week. It wasn't because they weren't playing hard. It wasn't because they weren't good. It wasn't because they lacked talent. That's not it at all. It's all about just getting that feel and understanding the guy next to you and understanding the quarterback. There were a couple of times where Patrick Mahomes put his offensive line in peril by his drop back and staying in the pocket at 10. He's got to slide up. He's got to get better at that. He's got to have a better pocket presence. That's something he's working on. It was a point of emphasis for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to A, stay in the pocket, and B, understand the feel of stepping up in the pocket and moving around in the pocket instead of escaping all the time and putting yourself in a position where you can get hit. So a couple of the sacks and a couple of the pressures really were Patrick, and he even admitted, I don't know if we have the sound, but
what about that last one?
Yeah. I mean, he was at 10, and he was trying to, you know, gear up and make a big play there, but he didn't step up. And offensive tackles, for everybody out there, you want the pocket to be deep and wide. That's always what you talk about. You want the pocket to be solid in the middle, and then you want it to be wide outside, and wide is created by the tackles, and the tackles are taught to get the guys to eight. Eight is great. Nine, you're mine. If you can get a guy to, you know, make that turn at eight, and the quarterback steps up, then you're fine.
Eight is great, but nine, you're mine.
At nine yards, that breaks down. I mean, it's just a yard.
But 10.
10, forget about it.
You're screwed.
That's Steve DeBerg land. and you know what? But Patrick Mahomes even said it. Listen, I was at 10 a couple different times, and the tackles, that's not fair to them because they don't know. Remember, they're out there battling against a defensive end or an outside linebacker that's coming off on a speed rush. They don't know where the quarterback is at. the defender does. So they are taught to say, hey, listen, once you get to eight, you're great. You're fine. Step up, get rid of the ball. And the quarterback has to understand that. And that's one of the things they're working on together. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes will get better at it. And the offensive tackles will get better at it. And it's all about feel, communication, and trust.
Let's get a quick reaction from Jake. Eight, you're great. Nine, you're mine. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's brilliant.
Right?
It's exactly
well
right.
Well
stated. That's why we have you on the show.
That's it. Let's hear another one from Eric Bieniemy about the run game, Grunny. Eric Bieniemy says the Chiefs' running game should improve as the line continues to gel.
We would love to run the ball better. But when it's all said and done with, we got the win. Okay? Now, there's some things that we need to clean up. Yes. You know, can we be better up front? Yes. Can we see it a little better from the running back position? Yes. But when it's all said and done with, that's why you play the game. You make sure that you have those opportunities. You find the things that you didn't execute as well. And so you go and work it so you can make sure that we can improve upon it moving forward. But I thought, like I said, I thought our guys did a tremendous job of finding a way of dragging asses across the finish line when it's all said and done with.
So what we're doing right now today on the Border Patrol, trying to drag our asses across the finish line. Now, Eric Bieniemy alluded to it, and I thought it watching the game. A couple of runs, Clyde left some yards out there, right? And you heard Eric Bieniemy say, you know, we need to see the field a little bit better, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the first half, if you watch that game, the offensive line and the running backs just weren't on the same page. Maybe it was part of the game plan that the Cleveland gave them maybe a different look or a different feel or a different set that they weren't expecting. Because when I think Clyde had, correct me if I'm wrong, in the first half, did he have 3 yards on three carries? I mean, it was something as limited as that. And then the second half, they came back, I think he had 11 carries for 40 yards. So, once again, I think Andy Heck, Eric Bieniemy, and Andy Reid did a nice job, just like the defensive coaches did, of making adjustments during the game. And they stayed with the running game. In fact, Andy Reid talked a little bit about Eric Bieniemy reminding Andy, hey, listen, we need to stay with this running game. That's something we have to establish this year. We can't just get away from him when things aren't going exactly the way we want them to go. We have got to establish and understand that we need to run the ball in order to win this year. And I know there's a lot of people out there, just like Patrick Mahomes throw the ball. Well, you know, you got to take a little bit of pressure off him. You got to get safeties to respect the run. You got to get the linebackers to maybe step up, maybe one step or hesitate and look in the backfield so that Travis Kelce will have a little bit more success in the middle of the field. So all those things are connected. So you're going to have to run the ball a little bit, and I think this offensive line is built to do that, especially with Smith, Creed and Niang. These are big body guys. And Orlando Brown, too. And Tony, really, the whole offensive line is really built around being able to run the ball, especially in gap run situations, which we've talked about before, which are like powers, you know, when you're pulling one guard, which is counters when you're pulling a guard at a tackle, which is some traps when you're just maybe pulling a tackle or a guard. You're trying to cut the defense at a point and then clear it out with like a snowplow. Clear it out with a polar and a trapper, and you're trying to cut the defense and then clear it out. And Clyde Helaire does a nice job, and I think all the running backs and the Chiefs do a nice job of setting those blocks and seeing them. I thought they struggled a little bit in the zone running. Maybe it wasn't as clear, but a lot of that was the combinations, especially on the backside. Tunney and Brown struggled to cut off that three technique on the backside. The three technique is the guy that's on the outside eye of the guard. The tackle needs to come and take him over as a guard, gives him a little bit of time, and then works up to the linebacker.
And Brown was late.
He was late to get there. And there was a lot of penetration there, which what it's not at the point of attack, granted, but there's no cutback. So when a running back is hitting that front side, let's say, 4 or 6 hole, and, you know, it's a little bit cloudy, he wants to cut back. And that's what zone plays are made to do. If it's cloudy, cut back. Well, you can't cut back if you're not cutting off that backside. And that backside, cutting off that backside is just as important as getting pushed on the front side. And that's why I think the zone plays struggle a little bit. I do think this week, what you do against a blitzing team, especially when you're bringing linebackers and you have defensive ends and three techniques and those guys coming up the field, that's when you start to run this gap stuff. I think you're going to see the Chiefs do a little bit more pulling. I think you're going to see a little bit more of kind of that shuffle, plant your foot and go from Hilaire. And I think they'll run the ball efficiently. Listen, they ran the ball pretty efficiently against this defense last year when they won. And I think they'll do the same thing. Because when you bring pressure, when you bring blitzes, those guys are now they're putting stress on their gap responsibilities. And when you put stress on your gap responsibility as a defensive end with contain or as a linebacker, if you're blitzing on the A-gap and you get picked up, there's some big plays to be had. Now, granted, you're gonna have some tackles for losses. That's the nature of the beast with a blitz. But you're going to have some real big plays, too. And I think if you could cut the defense and then clear out against the blitz with those aggressive guys coming up the field, you're going to have some success.
So I remember one of those plays that you're talking about. So when they're watching that and they're trying to make the adjustments, is that all on Orlando Brown? Does Joe Tooney need to do anything different? You're trying, you know, this is the first time those guys have worked together and played together. And like you talked about, you have to have chemistry. You have to have, you know, it's a unit, you know? And so if one guy is not on the same page as the other, you can have problems like that. So what are the adjustments that need to be made so that doesn't happen again?
Well, I think the first thing is you got watching it from the end zone. And I watched a little bit of the end zone copy with the NFL, like, network thing that we get. It looks like guys were stepping underneath themselves a little bit. And he's going to have to get these guys to take better steps. It's all about understanding that if you're on that backside and you're a tackle, you got to get yourself in a balanced position so that you could take a big for Orlando Brown. He's got to get that right foot going and take that big step. And that second step is so important to bring the speed. First step sets the angle. Second step brings the speed. And it looked like they were stepping underneath themselves and they weren't stepping. So when you do that against a fast, there it is right there. And you just showed it. Orlando Brown, watch him. He almost hops in his step here. He almost hops. Let's watch it. There it is. You can't do that. You got to step and go. And what Orlando Brown did is he stepped underneath himself and he realized because he stepped underneath himself, he was behind and then he tried to speed it up. When you speed it up, you hop. So for anybody that wants to, Nick Jacobs is on Twitter.
Right.
There's a prime example. If you're not driving around, you're sitting around, and you want to see what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. It's just little things like that.
I retweeted it at SSJWHB.
Guys, it's you know, and that's a great thing about the offensive line play. And I know a lot of people don't think it's sexy and it's fun to watch, but five guys have got to work together, and they all have to. It's choreographed. It's like a Broadway show where everybody's got to have the same steps and on the same page and on the same level, and they have to make sure that they're all kind of working together and they're all kind of stepping together. And when one guy steps underneath themselves, the other guy takes a good step. That other guy that's behind can't get there. So those are the little things. And there was a couple of times, like Trey Smith, God bless him. I mean, he did a great job a couple of times of what we call a jump hooking, like attacking the front side shoulder. But he attacked the front side shoulder so much that the guy slid underneath and he made the play. So because he was aggressive and because he was probably so pumped up that he almost put himself in a bad position by being too aggressive or too much on that front side shoulder. And the guy got skinny and came around him and made the play. So little things like that that you have to learn, and they will. And Andy, I know, because I know Andy. Andy and I were offensive line mates for 3 years at Notre Dame, and we're under Joe Moore. And I know what Andy's telling him. You can't step underneath yourself. And he's talking to Orlando Brown in pass protection. You can't waist bend a little bit. If you waist bend and if you're too top heavy and you miss on that punch, that's when the guy's going to beat you around the corner. So little things like that that they're going to have to get better at, and they will get better at, because there's a lot of talent, a lot of toughness on this offensive line. This offensive line is not the offensive line that we had last year in a Super Bowl. This is not that offensive line. This is a completely different offensive line. I know the names are different, but also the attitude and the athleticism and the toughness is different, too.
All right, so talking about offensive lines, the Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley
Domer
missed his second straight practice on Thursday with an ankle injury. He had ankle surgery after suffering a season-ending injury last season, and he didn't look great against the Raiders on Monday night, and so they're expecting, obviously, more information on Stanley's outlook to play against the Chiefs on Sunday night, but the team has already started to consider their options, moving Villanueva from right tackle to the left side is one of them, and he didn't look very good either on Monday night. And so if Ronnie Stanley can't go at left tackle and they have to shuffle the offensive line, we've already talked about the injuries to running backs. Marcus Peters is out for the season. They're having a lot of injuries right now, but that would be a big one if their stud left tackle is unable to go on Sunday night.
And don't forget that they have a rookie at left guard, Ben Cleveland, out of Georgia. So, you know, Ronnie Stanley, who I know very, very well, he's a great football player, unbelievable athlete for his size and smart. If he's out, you know, that's going to, and they have to move Venezuela over to left tackle. Once again, A, you're going to have some issues once again with kind of the combinations and the communication with a young guy and a guy who's moved over, basically doesn't play left tackle, who has wasn't on this team. So very, very important that Ronnie Stanley plays, and if he doesn't play, it's going to cause a lot of issues for this offense.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown didn't practice because of an ankle issue. Cornerback Chris Westry, who's an ascending player, I think he played between 35 and 40 snaps. He's been carving out a bigger role in their defense, and they're already down Marcus Peters. He didn't practice because of a knee. Ronnie Stanley didn't practice. Derek Wolf, defensive lineman, back and hip issues. He didn't practice, and so
yeah, a lot of injuries.
Except for Willie Gay Jr., the Chiefs look to be far healthier than the Baltimore Ravens, and they expect to get Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark back on the field. We'll take a break. More with Tim Grunhard after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Very descriptive language from Jake Pounders in the last commercial break. I toast you, sir, Red Friday. Birthday. It's Patrick Mahomes. Why don't you wish Patrick Mahomes a happy birthday?
Happy birthday, Patrick!
That's right, 26
years old. What do you think he wants? What do you get a guy like Patrick Mahomes for his birthday?
Another Super Bowl ring.
There you go.
Can't have it today, but
you can't give it to him. He'll earn that one.
That's right.
Let's see. What, you know, if you were going to give Patrick Mahomes one thing, what would it be?
A hug?
Oh. I did give him some CBD American Shaman products for his dogs.
Could you?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, his dogs had, you know, some issues, and they wanted to try it. And I had my son CJ, because he go deliver this over to Patrick Mahomes' house.
Right.
And Patrick wasn't home, so he was kind of, but his brother came down and
Jackson Mahomes
got the stuff, and the dogs used it. And
it was Jackson from TikTok.
So CBD American Shaman gave some products to Patrick Mahomes' dogs. It's good enough for you. How about that?
Should I take that? Or
you probably take the human stuff, but if you want to take the dog stuff, you can do that too.
Right. That's right.
You know, it's not that I haven't tried dog food before.
Go on.
I've been to parties before. The Elpo looks good.
So it was on purpose.
It was on purpose. Yeah. Well, I don't know, but on the next day, I didn't really particularly think it was a good idea, but it was at the time. Have you ever eaten dog food, Jake?
Back there,
Taco Bell. What?
Wow, I did when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean everybody's got. You know, it looks.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I have some dog treats that it's taken me a lot not to try.
My grandparents used to cook for their dogs. There's on the stove,
jerky,
like chicken and rice.
They look delicious.
When you go to that one place on the plaza, I can't remember the name of the place, but
Three Dog Bakery.
They have those like treats back there. They look good.
They bake that stuff, man.
I know.
My dogs eat better.
I did remember the name of the place, but I didn't want to say it because I wasn't sure.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
We do what we want here.
Yeah, I know we do.
Do we really? Someone tell me about that. Okay, let's hear. We talked about the Ronnie Stanley, the starting left tackle, perhaps being out for this game. We'll find out more today, but he has not practiced in the past 2 days. Let's hear from Spags.
Spaggy.
This is a good topic that I want to talk about here. Let's play number 8, shockingly, Jake Gutierrez. Let's hear Spags as he was asked about rookie linebacker out of Mizzou, Nick Bolton.
They did a really nice job. Yeah. I think I mentioned this before when somebody might have asked about Nick, but I think I did. In the preseason games, it didn't appear to me that in the game was too big for him. And I saw the same thing in this game. I watch him and Matt Hollis and Hitch Ben all work while they're sitting down at the bench, and it, not much phases him. He picks it right up. He'd be one of those guys, I say, that when we made a little tweak, you know, he went with it. The one thing about Nick is he's what I call a natural knee bender. I'm not into 40 times and all that. I mean, you don't want five flat guys, but I don't get all caught up in the, you know, how fast they are. They play fast, and they can bend and change direction. That's good enough for me, and I think he does that.
Yeah, no, he is certainly a knee bender.
And so is Jake.
Yeah.
Natural.
Natural right. Knee bender.
Always has been.
You know, what he's trying to say is, listen, you know, some guys are fast, but they play stiff. Some guys are quick, but they don't have a nose for the football, and this guy gets it. He's going to be a really good football player, and I'm glad we have him. He flashed in the game. Now, listen, he at times, once again, a little bit like Trey Smith and a little bit like Creed, they got themselves in trouble because they were just, you know, maybe too hyped up, or they, you know, got themselves out of position, but not much. Yeah, I thought the rookies showed up, and I thought they played pretty good for being young guys. But Nick Bolton flashed, and you watch him. He took on some tight ends. You know, he battled with some tackles at times and held his own. So yeah, now there's a nice pickup for the Chiefs defensively from the Tigers.
Okay, let's hear Tyrann Mathieu, who will be back in action for the Chiefs on Sunday night. And one of the guys he's going to see in a Ravens uniform is his former teammate, Sammy Watkins. Tyrann Mathieu says that the Chiefs respect Sammy Watkins enough to make some alterations as they prepare to face the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, Sammy's a great player, you know, especially when he's healthy. I think the biggest thing with him is, you know, he's been around us a while, so he kind of knows all the tricks, and you know, he knows what to expect. So, you know, we've added some wrinkles this week, just kind of throw things off a bit. But we expect his best shot. You know, I know him competing against us. He knows he's going to get our best shot. So, he's definitely a player we got to account for.
Okay, so this is a question that you can answer really better than any of us can. So we heard Orlando Brown said that he wasn't a snitch this week, so he's not going to give up a whole bunch of secrets. Sammy Watkins was asked the same thing. He says, I don't know about being a snitch or whatever, but I want to win, so I'm going to tell them what they want. How much can Sammy Watkins help, if at all, the coaches or the players by giving them some information? And the same question for Orlando Brown. How much can he help, and how much do you have to account for? We got to make some adjustments here. Because Sammy knows some of the calls, Orlando Brown or whatever. So
yeah, I'm not sure about the anything? Calls. I do think the different formations,
tendencies.
You know, this is a Marty Schottenheimer deal extraordinaire. Marty was famous for this. Marty would find a guy that just got released or cut from the team they were playing against and bring him on.
Right.
And you know, I'll never forget. You know, Greg Cragen. A guy that we picked up, a guy that I played against many
years
ago.
Nose tackle for the Broncos.
Right. When he came in, he actually gave us a presentation on some of the communication stuff. You know, it was great. So I think it was Alex Gibbs, maybe, or maybe it was Art Shell when Greg was there. And he said, okay, we're going to bring him in. He's going to give a presentation. He talked a little bit about calls and talked a little bit about tendencies, talked a little bit about, you know, when in a certain position on the defensive line that if we do this and that's coming, and you know, some of it held true, some didn't. So sometimes you can get bogged down with too much information, and then you're looking around instead of just trusting your eyes and trusting your film study. But it doesn't hurt to have a guy like Sammy Watkins, and it doesn't hurt to have a guy like Orlando Brown going up and saying, hey, listen, this is, you know, when Lamar Jackson finds himself in this kind of position, this is who he looks for. You know, what's his clock? You know, I mean, obviously his clock is very, very fast. But, you know, the little things, little tendencies that Orlando could share with Spags, and I'm sure that they have. I mean, he's not a snitch, and I love that line. But the reality is that you are always going to pick the brain, whether you're a coach or a player, from a guy that played in a system so that you know, you know, maybe a call or a tendency or a formation that is going to lead to something.
Okay, so I asked this question earlier of Stan Weber, and Jake, I'll ask you, what former Chief do you think is more likely to be a thorn in the side of Kansas City on Sunday night? Justin Houston or Sammy Watkins?
I think Justin Houston.
They said Sammy. You say Justin Houston. Yeah. He says you're full of it, Jake.
You're full of it.
Yeah, I think that Justin
Houston.
He's washed
up and old, man.
He is a veteran football player. He's savvy. You know, he's going to be pumped up to play against the Chiefs. Crowd noise is going to be an issue for the offensive line. They're going to put him up against some of those young guys, probably move him over against Niang and see how he matches up against Niang with the crowd noise and speed. So I would think that Justin Houston will have an effect on the game a little bit. Sammy Watkins too. I mean, Sammy, you know, he understands, you know, how those corners like to cover. He understands, you know, where the safeties are going to be and where the linebacker is going to be in certain situations. So he's going to be able to take advantage of some of those things. But overall, the Chiefs have just better personnel and they're healthier, and it really shouldn't be close.
You don't think it should be close?
No, I don't.
What are we talking about here?
The Chiefs win by at least 14. I think it's going to be, 35-21 or 35-17, somewhere in that area. Defensively, they're racked with injuries. Offensively, you know, they have both backs out, and so. You know, the Chiefs match up very well against Baltimore. They match up very well against Wink Martindale and his defensive schemes. So I think the Chiefs will have some success in this game. But, you know, it's an NFL game, and anything can happen. That's the great thing about the NFL is you can't go in comfortable. You can't go in feeling like you got this thing made, even with all these injuries and stuff, because, you know, that's why the NFL is great, because every team really has an opportunity to win. They're all good football players. Even the guys that are second team are good football players. And, you know, if a couple breaks go their way, or, you know, there's a scheme or two that the Chiefs struggle with, then Baltimore will be right in it.
The Chiefs and the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Frank Clark is going to be back on the field. And I think everyone has noted how valuable Tyrann Mathieu is to the defense. But, you know, it's fashionable now in Kansas City to bash Frank Clark, because he's had some issues off the field and he hasn't quite lived up to the contract, although I will remind people that playoff run to the Super Bowl, 5 sacks, and he was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And I'm good with the trade and the contract, because he got at least one Super Bowl championship.
He's the Johnny Cueto of the
Johnny
Kansas
Cueto
City. Came in and did a great job for the Royals. And
difference is, Cueto came in, and then he was gone via free agency. Right. They had to sign Frank Clark to a big deal. But in an effort to be positive here, tell me what Frank Clark will bring that will help this defense if he's indeed healthy on Sunday night.
Well, I think both tackles, obviously, are you know, with Ronnie Stanley being out, and you're moving Venezuela over, and Villanueva, over, and then you're bringing in a young guy at the other tackle. So, the good thing is the Chiefs should be able to get to Lamar Jackson with just 4, which helps, because you're going to have a spy in the middle of the field, whether that's a safety or a linebacker, depending on what the Chiefs want to do. But you got to have a spy. You have to have a guy watching Lamar all the time, because, you know, he'll just tuck and run. And if you don't have a guy that's responsible for him, then, you know, he's gonna take advantage of that. So when you can bring 4 and or at the most 5 with a spy staying there and kind of patrolling the middle of the field and watching where Lamar's going, that's what you want to do. So Frank Clark, Chris Jones on the edges against those tackles, I like those matchups. I like the matchups of the Nnadi and Reed and those guys in the middle, you know, kind of pounding the pocket. But I do think that they're going to have to find a way to get there with 4. Maybe 5, maybe bring a safety, maybe bring a linebacker, but basically get there with 4 so they can have a escape clause with a spy watching Lamar Jackson as he leaves the pocket.
We've got Tim Grunhardt in studio back after this to wrap things up on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Again, come out and see me from 11 until 1 o'clock at Littlefield Eye Associates, 220 West 75th in Waldo, KCMO, whatever you call it, I'll be there. Stop by for some incredible prize giveaways, including a contest to win a free pair of eyeglasses, a golf package to Shadow Glen, lots of frame giveaways. While you're there, get a tour of the office and enjoy snacks, hors d'oeuvres, wine. Littlefield Eye Associates at 220 West 75th in KCMO or online at littlefieldeyeassociates.com. Today from 11 to 1, I'll be out there at Littlefield Eye Associates where they put your vision and well-being first. Also, Timmy, very excited tonight. Richie and the Accidental Moguls are headlining. They're playing the big stage of P&L, the KC Live Block. They'll be on stage from 9 until midnight. So if someone's out and about, you want to watch some great live music and support my son on stage, he'll be playing at P&L tonight from 9 until midnight.
Well, I would definitely go, but tonight is the big battle between St. Thomas Aquinas Bishop Miege.
Wait 1 second!
9-point favorite the Saints are.
Wow, did you know that?
Yeah, I believe it.
Unbelievable.
They, gosh, I think they've rushed for 500 yards or something crazy over the last two games. A very, very good football team, and we just want to hang in there.
Jake says this is the holy war.
We're just trying to hang in there with St. Thomas Aquinas tonight.
What about St. Pius going to Maryville?
You know what? Boy, Maryville's had their number over the years, but I don't think Maryville's as good as they
are. Pius won last year.
Oh, okay.
Finally, you know.
We used to get worked.
Right.
I was coaching.
That's why it was such a big deal for Pius to win last year. Now they go up to Maryville.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's Phil St. John driving up there for this game.
Big Phil. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place to watch a game, the Spoof Hounds.
Talk trash to Jake right now about this rivalry.
It's hard to do that because they won the last three, and I haven't been around.
But now you're back.
But I am back, and I know Coach Dryling is out there listening. Hey, Coach, I still haven't lost to you. So
wow.
There it is.
Whoa. Okay, then. How's that going to go over?
Walk quietly with carry a big stick.
That's right.
Is that what you do?
I still haven't lost to him. But
you're awful quiet in there on the other side.
But they have
I'm carrying my big stick.
Okay.
He's got his big stick back there. But I will say this: they are huge up front on the defensive side, and they run the ball really, really well. So it'll be another fun game as Aquinas and Miege match up for the Holy War, and it'll be good.
Get this one at home.
We're at home, so we get it at home. It'll be the first time that Dixon Dahl Stadium at the Dave Doran Plaza, which is a new addition to Miege with Dave Doran, our good buddy from North Carolina State, donated some money to fix up the stadium. It'll be the first time that it'll be full again for a year now, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of excitement.
All right, one thing I wanted to ask you about that we haven't had a chance to get to today, play this clip from Eric Bieniemy. Our man Darren Smith asked Eric Bieniemy, and we've seen Eric Bieniemy be a candidate for several NFL head coaching positions, hasn't gotten a job yet. USC opens up, and then Adam Schefter reports that Eric Bieniemy could be a possible candidate there. Here is Darren Smith asking Eric Bieniemy about his name being attached to the current USC opening.
Well, you know me, okay? You guys know me. I am where my feet are, okay? So when it's all said and done, when I am focused on the task at hand, I'm not worried about anything where my name is being mentioned. My job right now is to make sure that we're preparing, all right, for this weekend's of opponent.
Along those same lines, Coach, if USC were to reach out to you, is this a position that you would probably find yourself interested in?
I think you guys know me better than that. So if USC reached out to me right now, my answer would be I am preparing, all right, for this team to play against the Baltimore Ravens. And that's how I roll. You guys know that.
Don't offer it out. Just tell them no.
I am where my feet are. Okay? My job is to make sure that we're ready to play a complete sound 60-minute football game where we can come out and win the game.
Okay, so first thing, I know you don't like USC, so I know we're going to get this jaded view of this, but we had Coach Barnett on, and you know, Eric Bieniemy, he got Eric Bieniemy into coaching, and he said if Eric Bieniemy called and asked his advice about this, he said, "Boy, I'd tell him to think long and hard about that's really what you want to do."
To go out there and be the
head coach of USC. You'd have to deal with all the other stuff besides just coaching USC.
Yeah, and the first person I would call would be Herm. and say, Herm, what
Dear
do you think?
Herm.
What do you think? I mean, here's a guy that was in the NFL for a long time and made that transition to college football. I remember you got recruiting and you got all the other things you have to deal with, you know, besides football with being a head coach of a college team. But I will say this, as much as I despise USC,
there it is.
It is a program that you answer the phone for. There's about four or five programs in the country that you have to answer the phone, you have to listen, and USC is one of those. It is an elite program, and it's been down, and you can become a superstar coach if you can turn that program around, which I think Coach Bieniemy would do to any program he goes to. I think he's a great coach. I think he'd be great for those kids, and I think that would turn that program around. So because of that, I'm hoping that he never goes there. Hmm. I just want USC to continue to be crappy.
Yeah.
But Eric Bieniemy would be a great coach, and I'm sure that Eric will listen. It'll be really interesting to find out when USC would want their coach. You know, because of recruiting and the way recruiting is nowadays, that recruiting is 365, and you're almost a year or two ahead of the class that you're going to sign. They may say, listen, we need you here. So that, you know, you can get into the recruiting and get into getting your people in place and let's get this thing going so we don't wait until February. If you got to wait till February, it's too late. It's too late and you're going to miss out on a whole recruiting class. So, it's going to come down to whether, Eric Bieniemy wants to leave the Kansas City Chiefs and to go take a USC job. And I concur with Coach Barnett. There's a lot to it. It's not just, you know, the dollar signs, because you're going to get paid and you're going to pay big money to go to USC. But there's a lot of other things you're going to have to deal with.
All right. To wrap things up again, give us once again the final score between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs score a bunch. I'm going to go with 35 and I'm going to say 21. It wouldn't surprise me if it was 24. But I think the Chiefs win by double digits, whether it's 10 or 14, somewhere in that area. Wink is going to bring his pressure. Patrick Mahomes is going to pick it apart. And when you bring pressure, you got a lot of one-on-one situations back there. And we see what Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce can do in one-on-one situations. The one thing I think you're going to see more of, and it's going to be better this week, is a running game. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like when I say that or talk about the running game. But the running game is something the Kansas City Chiefs have to establish this year if they want to go where they're going to go to. Because, number one, they have to run the ball and be more physical to help Patrick Mahomes. The other thing is you got to help your defense, too. You want your defense to be a little bit more rusted. So don't think that run is a three-letter slide. Runs is not a four-letter word. It is something the Chiefs need to do.
Let's hope you're right, Timmy, and the Chiefs win by double digits. Come and see me from 11 until 1 at Littlefield Eye Associates, 2020 West 75th. Go see Richie St. John tonight on the stage of P&L from 9 until midnight. And come and see us on Monday as we talk about the Chiefs beating the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Everyone have a great Red Friday, and happy birthday, Patrick Mahomes II, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.